I am so excited to introduce, for the summer, a regular feature of every other Tuesday. It's Astro Bob's Backyard Astronomy! We really need, like, applause and stuff. And star noises.
Okay.
I don't know what a star sounds like.
The star just blew up.
They're fabulous. Bob, it's going to be so much fun to have you on the air with us this summer, talking about what we can see in the night sky all summer long when we can actually get out and enjoy it, when we're all out camping in the middle of nowhere, and you get up in the middle of the night and you look up and the stars are so close you could touch them. It's going to be magical. Tell us, where do we start today?
Well, you can start with a couple of nice planets that are in the evening sky, and a returning moon. The moon was new yesterday, and so it'll be, we'll start to notice the crescent moon show up in the western sky at dusk. That'll be over the next few nights. That's always a great sight. I love it when the crescent comes back. It feels like your life is starting all over again. It's sort of a sign of renewal for me. It always has been. And that'll be happening this week. And then there is a bright planet in the southeastern sky. If you live in Duluth, you look over the lake, Lake Superior, and you would see a brilliant, what looks like a star, coming up at around 10 o'clock, 10:30 in the evening. It really doesn't get up high enough, though, until around 11 o'clock right now. And that's the planet Jupiter. So that's kind of a late evening planet. And Jupiter is the brightest and the biggest of all of the planets. And it's in the what I like to refer to as the 13th sign of the zodiac, the constellation called, and get ready for this one, it's called Ophiuchus. Have you heard of Ophiuchus?
No, but you better believe I'm coming up with a really clever way to spell it.
Oh, good. It's Ophiuchus. The title of the constellation is the Serpent Bearer. So it's this large figure in the sky holding on to a snake called Serpens. And the way the constellation boundaries were drawn back in 1930, a piece of Ophiuchus sits between Scorpius, Scorpion, and Sagittarius, the Archer, which are familiar zodiac constellations. Jupiter will be in that little slice of sky all summer and into the fall. So it's in Ophiuchus. And because the sun and the planets and everything goes through it, just like they do through all of the other 12 zodiac constellations, sometimes people, just for fun, will call it the 13th sign of the zodiac, even though there's no such thing. But it just happened that way.
So people who have birthdays in that Scorpio Sagittarius, they can't, you know, say, I'm an Ophiuchus.
Well, they could.
And if somebody says, what's your sign?
Some people are proud to because it's, yeah, it gives them a little bit kind of a unique edge. But there's nothing formal about it. So that's happening in the evening sky. You've got Jupiter coming up, and it'll be low in the southeast over the lake. If you turn, pardon me, the other direction to face the northwest, kind of the same direction the moon's going to appear in. This week, the planet Mercury returns to the scene. If you go out about 45 minutes after the sunset, so that would be about 9:30, 9:45, right in there, and you find a place where you have a really good horizon where you can look down into the northwest, you'll see a single bright star down there. Again, all of these things look like stars, but that is the planet Mercury. So that's pretty cool that we have that happening. Then before this time, it was just Mars in the evening sky, and it was kind of fading away. So now we're starting to get some planets, which feels great, especially if you have a telescope and you can look at Jupiter, which looks great in a small telescope. So those are some of the things you can see.
Lots and lots of good stuff already coming our way.
Yeah, and it's a great way to kind of open up or preview or get into the summer. We did have the International Space Station go over for the past, about the last 3 weeks or so, but it's kind of moving out of the picture now. It's not going to be making night passes for the next few weeks. And then the big news, of course, was that group of satellites that were sent up by SpaceX and Elon Musk called called Starlink. Have you heard about those?
It really does sound like something I saw in a movie, maybe like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I could be getting it confused with the Marvel Universe or something somewhere along the line. So,
well, it kind of looks like that. In a sense, it's like a row of spaceships, you know, heading for an attack or something. At least it did when it was first sent up. It was a remarkable sight. 60 satellites were sent up all at the same time. To provide, it's just part of the beginning of a group of 12,000 satellites that will be launched into space, into near-Earth orbit, that will provide internet access across the globe. That includes areas where you can't get the internet, say Africa and remote parts, all kinds of places.
I was going to say, you mean like places on, there are some places up on the range, I know.
Maybe
there's
the
a
range.
Really, there's a bad stretch on Highway 23 where your cell phone service drops out. This I know also. Mm-hmm. It's fun to joke about it, but
where you can't get the internet.
Oh, and they need that access like you would not believe. Everybody needs to have that access, from school kids to folks that want to have small businesses in some of these littler towns. That whole internet access thing is a huge, huge issue. So this really is exciting stuff.
Well, it's exciting, but it has a few people on edge because, first of all, it was a beautiful sight. For a couple of nights when it was still in lower orbit, you could see all 60 of these satellites together in a straight line in the sky. When they twinkled as the sunlight struck them this way and that. So I've never seen anything like it, totally. It's just unique. Right now, they're spread apart. They're quite faint, so they're much harder to see. But given that 12,000 have to be put into orbit, there's supposed to be another 2 to 3, maybe 3 to 4 launches this year. And when those launches are done, people just have to see what this looks like. I will post it on my blog, AstroBob, so that you know when and where to look. But the dark side of all these satellites is all of the, I guess you can call it light pollution.
Oh, yeah.
You've got all of these lights, 12,000 lights. It's going to take 9 years to get them all up there. But you've got all of these lights cycling around the sky, plus other companies that are thinking of doing the same. So astronomers, especially professional astronomers, are concerned that when they take photographs of things, they're going to be filled with streaks of light from these satellites. So they're working with Elon Musk and SpaceX to try to mitigate the problem, you know, by dimming these things. He's even talking about having them painted black so they're much fainter. They don't cause as much of a problem.
Well, but, and even just regular, like I was saying, when you go camping that and you experience a really dark sky, maybe for the first time in your life, you never forget the first time you experience a really dark sky and the stars are right there. And that's an experience everybody should have.
Right. And you want that experience. And we all love, I mean, my experience is that people love satellites. Whenever I'm out with a group, they're like, oh, look, there's a satellite. Oh, look, there's, the problem is, if you're starting to see more satellites than stars, you're robbing people of the experience of a night sky. And that's also the concern of ordinary people that love to go camping, or amateur astronomers who are out there trying to take photos of beautiful scenes in the sky. So it's kind of an issue right now, and it sounds like SpaceX is being considerate, you know, and trying to help out the astronomers. And hopefully the ordinary people, too, who don't want to see more satellites than stars.
Right.
I mean, across an entire year, the total number of stars on a dark night that you can see with your naked eye is around 9,800. All right? It may look like tens of thousands, but it's 9,800 stars. So imagine if there were 12,000 satellites you could see. Of course, you won't. Even now, those things are kind of on the fainter side because they're being moved up into a higher orbit where they'll start to be operational.
But it's great that we're thinking about it now at the beginning instead of waiting until, you know, 20, 50 years down the road and then going, oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, once people saw the images of this great procession of lights across the sky, I mean, they were blown away, but at the same time, they're like, huh, is that a good thing?
Bob, this is going to be absolutely marvelous to be talking with you all summer. We're going to have the opportunity to talk about things like aurora, and you know I'm going to lean on you now and again to give folks some ideas for how they can capture some beautiful photographs of the stars in the night sky. So it's going to be a wonderful summer with Astro Bob's Backyard Astronomy. Thanks a million for joining us. We'll talk again in a couple of weeks.
You're so nice. Thank you for having me.
Bob King, our guest. He is going to be a regular feature of our summer, Bob King's Backyard Astronomy, every other Tuesday here on KUMD.